Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Yes, indeed, Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. And all throughout the day, we've been giving you beautiful pieces of music because we play strictly Nigerian music. And of course, today is a special day as we review insecurity in our nation, Nigeria. And we've spoken to quite a number of people earlier on. Time now for us to engage Dr. Bukola Adesina, Political Science Department, University of Ibadan. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hello, how are you, ma'am? You sound so relaxed.
Ah, well, you thank God for life.
In the midst of all this insecurity, especially around Shasha in Ibadan, you are so relaxed.
Well, we thank God for life. We are still here.
All right. My name is Tori Arulogu, and we'll be doing this conversation together for the next 45, 50 minutes. All right. Okay. So let me shoot straight away. You are a political scientist. The current insecurity in Nigeria, does it have a political coloration, in your own opinion?
Well, I can say it does. Well, at least on the part of the people believe that the government is insincere. There is a likelihood that all these things we are seeing going on is linked to the 2023 election. So we can almost say that it has political coloration.
Okay.
For instance, all the monies we see being distributed and being shared, some people believe that they are just using it as an excuse to be able to siphon money and keep it aside for the election.
Which money is this? The one being paid as ransom?
Those being paid as ransom, those being given to some Fulani people that we watch on video clips and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So people believe that most of those kidnappings are state managed.
We'll get to that, but let's make a clear distinction.
Okay.
Is it more political than ethnic?
What do we mean by insecurity in the first place? Maybe we can even start from there.
All right. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. You know, when we talk about security, feeling secured, knowing that you can sleep with your two eyes shut, there are different factors or different things that can go into that. For instance, we can say we can link it to the concept of human security. We talk about two schools of thought, freedom from fear and freedom from want. In this case, we are talking about freedom from fear. Many people do not feel secured because there are various activities going on that is making that impossible. So, we have different levels. We have not really normal, but things that are becoming normal. People not being able to sleep because of armed robbery attacks and so on, kidnapping for business and all of that. So we have to separate that from what is now becoming our normal, the Boko Haram issue, the headers issue, and so on like that. So we cannot really put all of it on political coloration. You understand what I'm trying to put across?
I'm with you.
Okay. So we can talk about insecurity and with the fact that we have issues with the security apparatus and also another level of security being linked to this high state of kidnappings that we are getting to.
Okay. Yeah. I hear you, but you talk about freedom from fear.
Okay.
The other freedom. You did not explain the other freedom. Freedom from one.
Freedom from one, being able to afford normal basic things of life, being able to have accommodation, being able to feed, being able to live a quality life, and so on. So it has to do with employment and things like that. But for freedom from fear, being able to be secured wherever you find yourself, and so on like that. Not fearing kidnapping, not fearing armed robbery, and things like that.
Okay. All right, but earlier in the morning, I spoke with Dr. Abdul, Yemi Abdul, and he talked about one of the root causes of this insecurity that we have in Nigeria, especially that of the northern variant, if you permit me to use that word. Also comes from non-inclusion. It comes from inability to get the basic things of life, which is one of the things that is mentioned in terms of education, food, quality of life generally. And this somehow seems to be like a protest, even though we disagreed with violent protest, but a civil protest, you know, which is like the people are also revolting that they've not been treated fairly over time. Would you agree with this?
Not totally. Because, as I said, some people feel that it's more of an orchestrated thing. Of course, we know that in the northern part of the country, we have a high level of lack of education, where you have so many children that are out of school and so on. You can imagine what you would read when you have something like that. So I particularly don't see it as a revolt. I see it as opportunity, some people using it as opportunity to recruit some people to carry out their that business, let me put it like that way. They are available, these are available and that you can use to perpetrate what you want to do, which you cannot do by yourself or get your children to do. That's the idea.
Okay. All right, okay. I'm sure you're a mother and how would you react to this recent case of kidnapping of school children? What does it portend for education in the north and also for the Nigerian child generally?
You know, because of the insincerity of the government or on the part of the government, it makes it very difficult, you know, very, very difficult to really know what is actually going on up there. Because, I mean, you see some children, 300 plus, being moved from a particular spot to another spot, and none of the situations we've heard about, the people, the perpetrators were not intercepted by security agents of any form. You are not moving 5 children, not 10, not 20, not 40, over 100, over 200, over 300. Even if you are going to move them on motorcycles, at least you put 2 or 3 or 4 on a bike. You can imagine, divide that by 300 and something. So how did that happen? And we didn't hear that there was a clash between the kidnappers and the security officials. So it's very difficult to really know what is going on. And then the children comes back, and then they are all dressed up nicely and all of that. Some people say they have gone on excursion.
You know? What a way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very sad situation because, number one is, spoiling our image abroad. People see it all the time. And then it's not becoming thing at once in two. You don't know what is going to happen next one, then another 300, another 300. I mean, it's becoming more like a joke.
That's true. So
I wouldn't like my children to be traumatized in any form. Because, of course, it's likely that the children are not in the picture. They will be, I mean, if they're not in the picture in this thing, they will be traumatized. I wouldn't want that. But it is not adding up. So I don't know.
Okay. All right. Before we go on the break, because whether we're looking or not, we are like 20 minutes down, I'm just going to ask you this question. Given all you see, because on the other side, when we come back from the break, we should be talking about what we see with the political the landscape in Nigeria, given this level of insecurity, that's what we are going to be looking at specifically. What does this really portray? But then, from where you see it as a political scientist, is there a civil war looming in Nigeria as this to a strong call for restructuring, whatever restructuring means to anybody in this instance? So do you see a civil war looming in Nigeria, and how does the quest for restructuring in Nigeria, how does it interplay with this?
Okay. Well, I don't pray for a war. I'm sure nobody prays for a war.
Yes.
But, you know, what keeps me concerned is that you feel a possible, should I say, problem that you can almost touch, because people are not happy. You see spontaneous reactions, like the NSAS protest,
yes,
like the blockage of the airport in Abuja, I think it was yesterday or so.
Yes.
You know, people are angry. Anything can happen to, you said an angry man is an angry man.
Yes, ma'am.
When somebody did not sleep because he doesn't know what is going to happen, you cannot travel. You want to go even from Ibadan to Lagos, you don't know what is on the way. You are going to Akure, you are going to Ilesha. You have to fast and pray about it, and so on. So, I don't pray for a war, but I don't know. Anything can happen.
Okay.
Anything
so,
can happen.
So how does the quest that is prevalent in the Nigerian nation right now, how does it play in all of these insecurities? Is it going to add fire, or a resolution is going to, you know, downfall the tension?
I don't know, honestly, because even the 2023 election that is ahead, I pray it holds. Because with the way things are going, with the demand for good governance, in quotes, whatever that is, because I don't think even the government is allowing the right people to contest for elections. So, honestly, I'm not sure I know.
Okay. All right. So, I know you're also trying to be very careful. And I agree with you, absolutely. I know, I can feel it. I know you have a lot more to say, but maybe this is not a platform to say.
Yeah.
But I hear you loud and clear. Anything can happen. But you've told us categorically that people can literally touch the problem, okay? And there's a strong demand for good governance in the Nigerian nation right now. And of course,
people are on
the primary. Yes, the primary responsibility of government is the protection of the lives and property of the citizens. So, and government is failing in that regard. So I hear you loud and clear, and I can feel you. Okay, let's go on a short break. When we come back, we will be looking at whether there have been historical antecedents to this, what is happening right now, and probably if you have solutions that you can offer to put an end to this insecurity in Nigeria from a political scientist point of view. When we come back after this short break.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed. Of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
A child in the distance, playing in the rain, the sweet sound of water flowing away, a construction worker coming home from work, two parents and their children going to church, a happy little baby draws on your shirt,
one extraordinary day. Let us have a world of ordinary people living life the way God wants us to. And if we have a world of ordinary people, extraordinary things will happen to me and you.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
All right, so Spirit of Nigeria Radio, and we are on our country review on anti-clerical in the Nigerian nation. And our guest, our expert, our research person that we are engaging in this conversation, this afternoon session with, is Dr. Bukola Adeshina, Political Science Department, University of Ibadan. And of course, he's told us a few things, you know, about human security, freedom from fear, freedom from want, ability to get the basic things. He's talked on the Boko Haram elders, kidnapping, and that our security and power source is failing, and she's not too sure what is going to happen when she was asking the civil war. But certainly, there's a high demand for good governance. People are hungry. People are not happy. And this is what, you know, is spoiling the insecurity in the nation. All right, madam, are you still here with me?
Yes, I'm here with you.
All right, so let's go now. Do we have any historical antecedents to some of the things that are happening? Has it happened before? How was it resolved? Or this is something that is brand new in the Nigerian nation?
Well, I almost feel that things have always been like this, only that the intensity is increasing.
Okay.
Because I can remember in the 80s, in the 90s, the fear of insecurity, but I don't think we've ever had it this bad.
Mm.
So it's getting worse. And now we see that things are being done with impunity. There's no fear that anyone can be apprehended and then get justice. So it gets worse. And the level of unemployment also is increasing. So creating more avenues for people to join it by the bad gangs and things like that. So
okay. I hear you. Do you think the government is responding adequately, appropriately, and positively to the insecurity that is enveloping this country?
Okay. Can I hear that again, please?
Do you think the government, and I'm talking specifically about the federal government, the state governments, the local government, and that also includes all the security agencies, all the different arms of our, are we responding appropriately and positively to this state of insecurity in the country?
I don't think the government is doing enough. Because, you know, the primary responsibility of government is the security of the citizens. So I see that lack of political will to actually address this issue. I believe the Boko Haram issue, for example, should not have been allowed to go the way it's going. And also now we are having the Samaeda issues. So, and I don't think the government is handling it very well. Some people are seeing ethnic coloration to that, but it's because it's the Fulanis that are involved and we have a Fulani presidency, then they are not ready to do anything about it. And then also, most of, well, you have a lot of the cows being tended by these elders belonging to our politicians and so on. So they also have to ensure that their cows are being fed.
Mm.
So a lot of these issues are so difficult to handle because those who are involved don't want solution to it. I mean, you have the elders carrying AK-47 around. And I think it was yesterday the presidency was saying that anyone carrying AK-47 should be shot. Who is going to shoot them?
Mm.
So, you know, that's a political will.
Yeah, and some people have also argued that shooter sight, you know, is at a variance, is at a dissonance with the fundamental human rights of the citizens.
Well, I don't know. Then Twitter aside, is it the average citizen that is not supposed to carry a gun that is going to shoot them? Those who are in the forest, or the police that is in town that wants to go and shoot them in the forest? So I don't see that as a political statement. So it still boils down to lack of political will and insincerity on the part of the government. And I think establishing community policing, infrastructure, facility, or whatever you want to call it, is supposed to help where there's political will anyway. The old Moteco outfits and all of that, it's supposed to be a long way to be able to help at the community level.
But it's not allowed to work.
That is it. Because if you say equip the police, you provide funding, it's still the same police that we see around. There are still the same people in our community that we see, that we know, that are corrupt and so on. And then you talk about proliferation of small arms and light weapons everywhere. You know? And then our poor brothers too are not helping.
Yes, brothers.
Use the opportunity to infiltrate the country and do whatever they want to do and go away. Nobody catches them. So it's a complex, serious, complex problem that we have on our hands. So if there's no political will, we don't have good governance in place, we don't have quality leadership, I don't know how we are going to do anything about it. And also there is this loss of traditional values and moral system that we mess. You are not supposed to steal. Stealing is now the order of the day. You pick a pen that is not your own, you bring it home. Your mom sees it and she's not. But now, I mean, you have to go and fend for the family. We have people that have 2, 3, 4, 5 graduates at home that don't have jobs, even up to master's level. And then they now go out and bring something. So you hear internet fraud and everything going on. So it's a very complex problem.
Okay, this complex problem that you described, do you have any solutions that you can offer? What are your own ideas in terms of moving the Nigerian project forward, or Project Nigeria forward? How do you think we can resolve some of these complex problems?
I particularly would like to see a day that will have free and fair elections.
Okay, that's for elections, okay.
Yes, when we'll be able to have people who have the interest of Nigeria in place of governance. So I believe quality leadership is the only thing that can help us in this country. They're talking about restructuring. What is restructuring? You want to give power to the federation, the federating unit. How do you, if you see the same circulating elite, the same kind of people in power, it's still going to boil down to the same thing. Some people are clamoring that the nation should break up. If the country should break up, even within the Yoruba, we have unity. It's talking about the Jebu Musa and the Jebu Yoruba. You have the that different from the Jebu, the
Jebu Nation.
How are we going to manage that again? So I believe when we have quality leadership, when we have people who have the interest of this Nigerian project in their hearts, that is when we can have a way forward. But for now, let us have free and fair elections. Let it be easy for those who want to contest to contest.
All right, I agree with you to some extent, but I also have a different opinion, and I would like to seek your opinion. We keep talking about leadership and leadership. What about followership? Doesn't followership have a role to play in the success of leadership, in the success of the country? For example, how many of us are truly and genuinely interested in participating in politics or in governance? And of course, sometimes when the leaders get there, the followership also play a dominating role or a dominating role in leading leadership astray. So what role, what role? Is there a role for followership in all of this?
Yes, there's a role for followership when we have good leadership in place. Because if we want to uphold the rule of law, we have leaders to enforce that. It is not the president that will throw refuse on the roads.
Exactly.
But if there's something that will make you not to stay on the road, then you know that once you are caught, something happens. But what provision is made for you to be able to dispose your refuse properly? You know, they all have their rules, but the rule of law must be upheld. But there must be a rule of law in the first place. There must be someone to enforce the rule of law. So the followership will have to key into what is on ground. So we need to put good leaders who will be ready to keep the followership in place, and also have followership who will also be able to keep the leadership in check. So they all have their roles, but first of all, we must have quality leadership.
Okay, all right, thank you very much. So, now, I believe that for us as a nation in Nigeria, the way we are structured, security, safety of lives and property is what can make the economy grow, is what can engender development, and we are lacking it right now. Now, what is the role of the security agencies, the people who are supposed to take? You know, people were clamoring, oh, change services. Now services are changed. Looks like it's getting worse. Nothing has happened. Nothing dramatic. Nothing major. So, I don't know.
Think anything has been changed.
Personnel has changed. The heads have changed anyway.
I don't think so. Nothing has changed. We have been inept security apparatus.
Okay. Okay, madam, I hope you are not predicting doom for this nation, because I see the way you are responding.
Honestly, I'm a positive Nigerian. I love Nigeria. You cannot know how much I love Nigeria. I love Nigeria so much. I want things to work out well for Nigeria.
Good to know that.
We have so many forces and factors and things around that just does not want it to work. But I believe something will happen. Positively. Very
okay. Before we round up, let me ask you this question, which is one of the questions that I ask a lot of the people in the academia. Anytime I have the opportunity to ask them questions on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, because we are a diaspora-focused radio station. Now, when Nigerian intellectuals like you, professors, PhD holders, lecturers, and a lot more, some of our professionals, when they leave Nigeria, usually they will say it is brain drain. But then, the way we are changing the narrative, it sounds more, or it should be sounding more, like brain drain for those countries. What is your take on this? Exodus of professionals, exodus of the intellectuals from Nigeria, is it brain gain or brain drain?
From Nigeria, is brain drain now. Where they are going is brain gain, because Nigerians will be successful wherever they go. Nigerians are resourceful. They are they are everything. Just show them what to do. They know they will even go beyond your imagination. And some people will show you what to do. So I think it's brain drain for us, and it's so sad. Because the universities, for example, we use so much to train doctors. And then now that they are successful, they go out there to go and use their expertise outside. You hear the brain surgeon, best brain surgeon in America is a Nigerian. The most whatever engineer in the place, the best physicist is a Nigerian, somewhere else, not in Nigeria. So what will make the person to be the resource in Nigeria is not there. The encouragement is not there. The environment is not conducive. And it still all boils down to bad leadership.
All right. I hear you loud and clear, ma'am. What you're saying is that it's brain drain for the countries where they're going.
Yes, so no,
but brain drain for Nigeria. Anyway, one thing that is sure, one thing that is a fact is that Nigerians are assets.
Yes.
Nigerians are assets. Whether at home or abroad. When you survive in Nigeria, by the time you get abroad, you are going to be a superstar.
Yes, yes.
Because your neighborhood environment is there and it allows you to thrive. And if you survive here, given all the odds that you have, you are made to face, you can survive anywhere.
Yes.
All right, thank you very much, Dr. Bukola Adesina of the Political Science Department, University of Ibadan. Sincerely, our appreciation for being a part of Speak of Nigeria Radio. I know that you've tried to make it very, very careful on the borderline. You are not spitting fire, you are not shooting from the hips. But at the same time, you've made your point and we still understand it. And you really hit the nail on the head. Everything rests on the top step of leadership. Okay? So thank you very much. I hope next time we invite you on Speak of Nigeria Radio, you will oblige us.
Yes.
Thank you very much for being a part of our country review on insecurity on Speak of Nigeria Radio. Thank you very much. All right, Speak of Nigeria Radio. Yeah, thank you.
Nigeria Radio.
Another interview is slated for 5 o'clock, and we'll be talking with a security expert and author, retired Air Vice Marshal Sikiru Old-Smith. And he's the one who I'll be asking the most pertinent questions because he's a security expert and he should be able to give us solutions to the current insecurity in the Nigerian nation. Speak of Nigeria with me continues. Keep it loud. Keep it. I'm bringing Nigeria up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.